council meeting out of recess and back into a regular meeting. First item tonight, if everybody would please silence your cell phones. Next, we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance, and then Ms. Thomas will lead us in the invocation. So if we will all, also, if you're uncomfortable with either, you can remain seated or step outside. If you wish to step outside or in the hallway, Chief Watts will go out and get you and bring you back in when we get started. So all we have to do.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, as we gather tonight, I ask you to be over each member in this room and give us a good report. May we handle ourselves in a responsible manner, and we just solve some problems as we love our town. Lord, as your mercies are new every morning, we now have the spring ahead of us, and we're just looking for a great future. We lift this all to you in the name of our strong name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're adding something to the agenda, calling it E.2. And what that's going to be is, where we adopted last month the new code of ethics. I'm going to personally take it around to each member here and have them sign. Yes, your choice. Whatever you come for.
Red?
No. Blue or black are good. Red, we're not going to go with it.
Did you put your
agenda?
Didn't think that would work.
Where's the agenda you had?
Thank you.
You had one on your seat.
Since Mr. Higginbotham is not here this evening, I'm going to hand it back to the clerk, and Mr. Higginbotham will stop by here and sign. Okay, next item on the agenda is public hearing. We have a public hearing for the sewer hookup requirements. Ms. McGuffin?
So thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have a code requirement that basically says that anyone who is building something new in town that is within 200 feet of our town sewer system is required to hook up to that system. This was put in place many years ago at the behest of USDA, who was the funding agency for some pretty substantial sewer improvements at the time. And so they required that we put this in place. This is not a requirement that they had on their last go-around of projects, and we're not looking to remove it. We still think it's overall a good idea. However, we have had a few properties that, due to how they are situated in relation to the sewer line, the requirement to hook up within 200 feet has been a real bar to development for those properties. So staff has recommended that you consider an ordinance that would allow someone to seek a waiver from the town manager for that requirement based on topography or development constraints or so forth regarding that. So you have a public hearing that has been properly advertised and notified, and we'd like to hold that now.
Okay. I'm now open the public hearing. If anybody would like to speak to that. Thank you, Chief. Nobody's listed. Does anybody like to speak? I will close the public hearing. I will entertain a motion to amend this code to allow that for the discretion of the town manager, reference the 200 feet of logistic, as Ms. McGuffin explained.
So moved.
Have a motion from Mr. Driscoll. May I have a second, please?
Second.
Second from Mr. Martin. Is there any discussion, Mr. Martin?
No.
Ms. Wheaton?
Yes. Is there a disadvantage to doing this?
So the only possible disadvantage would be if you started to have a situation where you were finding that, you know, you had repeated waivers being given and you weren't kind of having the reason for the ordinance existing occurring. So, you know, obviously anytime we get someone hooked up to our sewer system, that's a customer for the system. So when we allow people to not hook up, we're foregoing that customer. But I think ultimately right now we actually have property that just isn't getting developed. I'd rather see property developed even not hooked up to our sewer than have it just sit vacant. So as long as it's not abused, I think that's it's great.
And that's why you're gonna try to keep the original and just add the discretion. Okay, thank you. Perfect.
Mr. Watts? And Mr. Driscoll. Okay, vote. Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
And Mr. Wheaton? Motion is carried 4-1-0. The next, we have a public comment because the public hearing was, I'll tell you what, it can be explained better. It had something to do with the newspaper. I'm gonna turn it over to Ms. McGuffin because she can explain the reason.
Thank you. We have a public comment for 305 Sunset Drive. This is a request to rezone a portion of 305 Sunset Drive from A1 to R1 to allow the subdivision of essentially the house lot. There's an existing home there. To allow that to be subdivided from the remainder of the agriculturally zoned property. There was an issue with the public notification. As many of you know, the newspaper was hacked and it created a just incredible amount of turmoil for them. And so the advertisement was not properly advertised. So we left open the opportunity for comment on this because we did send out the adjacent notification. So it is possible that someone may have a question about this or want to make a comment on it, but we need to hold the public hearing officially next month. So that it can be properly advertised in the paper as per the Virginia Code. So this is a very small scale rezoning. It is not creating any additional development. It is only allowing a property owner to divide their house from the remaining property.
So is there anybody who would like to speak on it tonight? Okay, no comments, we'll move on. Chief Watts, citizens' comments, please. Okay, citizens' comments, Ms. Sunderman. You have 3 minutes.
Hello. I'm addressing the town council tonight as an urgent reminder of a concern I mentioned last month. In an email I sent to the town Amherst yesterday morning, which may or may not have been received by this meeting, I addressed the town council, the mayor, and the planning commission regarding the ongoing parking problem between Court Street and Second Street. And tonight, I would like to expand my concern up to Star Street. For those who do not know, the two blocks between Star Street and 2nd Street contain 15 street-level business entrances, 4 residential entrances leading to approximately 11 loft apartments. That's a minimum of 26 cars competing for 16 spaces on Main Street, assuming only one vehicle per person and one person per door, if all parked at the same time. I am purposely using hyperbole for a point that is already clearly understood by all, that there is not enough parking in the Central Business District. Through watching and taking video of Main Street for the last month, I have discovered that tenants who live in the lofts often own more than one vehicle per unit and have been using prime parking spaces for long-term parking. I have evidence of some vehicles being left upwards of 8 days in a row. I also did informal and social media polls to get an idea of how many customers will not stop at a business if parking is not convenient. The majority say they will not stop for a variety of understandable reasons. At least four businesses on this block have noticed significant reductions in revenue this winter, citing parking as a significant contributor, especially when it snows and cannot be cleared around parked vehicles. And though I am one of those businesses that had to lay off employees to survive this winter, I'm not entirely self-focused. As a business with a community focus, I am concerned about more than myself, and I speak for business owners, citizens, and special needs patrons. I have video evidence of disabled and elderly patrons having to cross the street and hobble down sidewalks for their dentist and hair appointments. In case you have not received that email yet, I attached photos and a video clip of a woman crossing the street with her cane and using parked vehicles to support herself up to the curb to get on the sidewalk. Though I know our hands are tied because our town is old and narrow, which gives it the charm and nostalgia that many people seek and that I personally love, I believe there is a simple solution to the problem, and I urge you, beg you, to take swift action by putting up signs on that block that there be no parking between midnight and 5 a.m. to discourage loft tenants from parking long-term in prime spaces. Please make every effort to not drag this out over 2 or 3 months to the extent permitted by law and ordinance processes. Thank you for your love and service to our town. That's all I have to say tonight.
Okay, nobody else? Next item is consent agenda. I hope everybody's had a chance to review the minutes from last month. If you have any corrections or anything, please speak now. Not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the agenda as posted. Or the consent agenda as posted.
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mr. Watt, do you have a second?
Second
from Mr. Driscoll. Is there any discussion? Then vote. Mr. Martin?
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Ms. Watt?
Aye.
And Mr. Driscoll. Motion carried 4-1-0. Next is for the check register. Check approval. I will entertain a motion to accept the check register as presented. Okay, I have a motion from Ms. Wheaton. May I have a second?
I'll second.
Second from Mr. Watt. Any discussion? There being none, vote. Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Mr. Watt?
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
And Mr. Martin?
Aye.
Motion carried 4-1-0. Attached, you'll find the staff reports. Any questions, please contact Ms. McGuffin, and she will put you in touch with the right person or whatever you need. Other reports attached is your planning commission, your zoning appeals, and there was no meeting for the ADA. Discussion items. Chief Watts, we have a street closure request.
Yes, sir. Just looking to get permit to close down the street on June 28th, 2025. The event's going to run from 6 to 9:30, but get the closure approximately 5:30 to 10:30.
Okay. First, I will entertain a motion to accept the street closure.
So moved.
Motion from Mr. Driscoll. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Mark. Discussion. Mr. Driscoll, do you have any discussion?
No.
Mr. Watt?
No.
Ms. Wheaton?
Question. What are the times again?
6 to 9:30 is the event.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Martin? No further discussion. We will vote. Mr. Martin?
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Mr. Aye. Watts?
Aye.
Mr. Driscoll? Motion carried 4-1-0. Ms. McGuffin, townofamherstva.com.
Yes, I just wanted to take a few minutes of the council's time to highlight something that has been done by one of our local citizens. So this is a website that has been put together by Elizabeth Mailer, and she's looking to highlight not just all the businesses that are in town, but all the events that are going on in town. So she is diligent about keeping this up. It has been widely used. I know that on the radio show that it is used to keep track of all the events that are coming up. So you can see she's showing what's happening in town with, you know, karaoke and the town council meeting and the farm market. And she only focuses on what's in town. This is a strictly town-only website. She does it out of the love in her heart for this town. And I just wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of this incredible website and the gift that we have been given by this citizen, and just increase awareness of it so folks would know. If you're ever looking for what to do, go to this website. So townofamherst.com. Oh, townofamherstva.com. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate your efforts.
Yes, great. Ms. Morgan, the holiday schedule change.
Okay, so we have, in the personnel policy, we are set to follow the governor's holiday schedule. This year, Christmas falls on a Thursday, so the governor has given us the Friday after Christmas off, and therefore he's only given us a half a day on Christmas Eve. We would like to exchange our Election Day holiday for a full day on Christmas Eve to even things out. We would like a full day on Christmas Eve.
It's just switching days.
Yes.
Okay, I will entertain a motion to switch Election Day with Christmas Eve, and they'll work on election and have off Christmas Eve.
So moved.
A motion from Mr. Driscoll. Can I have a second, please?
A second.
A second from Ms. Wheaton. Is there any discussion? There being none, vote. Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Mr. Wise?
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
And Mr. Martin?
Aye.
Motion carried 4-1-0. Ms. McGuffin, the review of the status of the water withdrawal.
So I don't want to go too deeply in this. We had a fairly long conversation about this last month, and you do have a memo in your packet that goes over this. But I just wanted to take a few minutes to let you know that we are continuing to work with DEQ to get a better permit for the town. I do not believe that there is any scenario under which the town gets its existing water withdrawal permit. I do not think we're going to get 365 million gallons a year. That is not the permit structure that DEQ works with anyone. So DEQ sees two issues overall with the current permit that we have, or the permit that just expired last year. One is that DEQ is very concerned about drought conditions in the Buffalo River. The Department of Wildlife Resources wants to have a 90% flow-by in the river no matter what the conditions are. So that means that 90% of the water should go by our intake, and we should never take out more than 10% of the flow no matter what the flow is. We have communicated back to DEQ that we believe we are able to address flow-by, and Department of Environmental Quality dropped that to 75%, and we think we can meet that in conjunction with the county because of Mill Creek Reservoir. So we will need to work with the county on that as we kind of proceed forward. The other issue is that, just generally speaking, DEQ philosophically does not leave people with extra water anymore. They do a mathematical calculation of how much water they think you need over that 15-year time period, and they're not going to issue you a permit for more than that. So where we are right now is we are gathering information and putting together our argument and our case for why we need additional water over that 15-year period. So that's where we are, and we're working through this. Staff will also be bringing to you in the future our recommendations for what to do after this permit approval. We do believe we need to seek additional water resources. There's always going to be a limitation at the Buffalo, and so we will be working through that. But for right now, we're going to focus on this, and then in a few months, we'll be back with more information on the next steps.
So they don't allow us any room for, say, we have a big industry that used a lot of water, wants to locate here, then we just can't supply it.
So what they have, what our attorneys from Aqua Law have suggested, is what they call a tiered permit. So we would have a permit that was written to accommodate the kind of standard level of growth, which we're pushing for 2% a year. And the tiered permit would then open up a new tier if you had a development in the industrial park. or if you had a large development occur, and we will essentially identify pockets of growth that we think that could occur that would push us beyond that 2% a year. And then essentially the new tier would open up with no more than a letter of notification to DEQ. So that's the framework we're pushing for to be able to address that. But again, my recommendation to council is going to be, no matter what we manage to do on this permit, we need to also be thinking very long term about that very question. Even if we get a, even if we had a permit that said 365 million gallons in a year, if we had a significant water user at the industrial park, we wouldn't have enough water. So we need to continue to move forward on that as well.
I had a citizen approach me about that, very concerned about the limitations on us, but I told myself we're doing the best we can do.
Yes, sir.
But,
all right. Thank you, Ms. McGuffin. The next one, Ms. McGuffin, is a possible tree planting.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And we do have a representative from James River Association here tonight, so I'm going to give him a few minutes to speak in just a minute. We had this, this is kind of a very, it's a little bit of a last minute proposal to the council, so this isn't something you've had a lot of time to consider, but I wanted to bring it to you so you could provide direction to staff. The James River Association, in conjunction with the schools, has identified Old Mill Park as a good location to do a riparian buffer. So they would like to come in and do tree planting along the stream in Old Mill Park. The concern we have is really mostly has to do with the fact that we haven't had a lot of time to think about this, and we don't know the exact location of the trees, and we haven't been able to engage where our citizens are with this. So we do have some concerns from a staff point of view. The obligation to the town is not financial. It is essentially that you would leave these trees to grow for 15 years. So with that, I would like to give our kind representative from James River Association a few minutes.
Good evening. So glad to be here. So we wrote a grant with Amherst County High School with the Department of Conservation and Recreation, and it's a three-tiered part. So we have educated all of our ninth graders in the county, and then this is the stewardship component that will happen in April. And we've identified Old Mill Park for two reasons, one because of how close it is to the park, and then the connection to the school. We have identified also there's a lot of erosion happening in that stream back there. So we're looking to manage that for the next 15 years. So our students will plant those trees in the majority in that area. And then our riparian buffer team, which we have a team spread kind of across our watershed, will maintain it. There are several like ways to treat the area, but we also are very mindful of the zero turn mowers that have to get in there, the people that will need to use the area as well. And we can put them wherever, but primarily we want to focus on, if you know where the parking lot is, on the left-hand side, there's a lot of erosion, as well as on the opposite side of the street there.
We did receive this today, I don't know if that
Yes.
Helped.
Yes, so you can see the point of reference, I think the red dot is, so I'm sorry, the gray area is the parking lot, and the red dot is where my staff member was, but that whole area we can help maintain, but we do not have to have trees in that whole area. So primarily to the left of the red dot, all the way to that end corner, and then primarily on the blue side as well. And we're mindful of, like, I think there's an old sewer line or a sewer line that goes through there, so we can move trees, put trees wherever works well for the town.
One of the concerns we have as a whole is, are you blocking off our access to the creek?
No, sir.
Because we have kids that fish there all the time. Fly fish people come in, so you know, they got a little room, and of course dogs run by there and whatever. So, you know, we have a concern. Are you going to cut off our creek access?
No.
Or do we have to, you know, weave like hell, walk into the creek?
Yes, so some areas maybe, you know, in the next 15 years harder to access, but again, that's gonna be on that left-hand side. And it's also gonna make better fishing habitat. So if you do have people that are interested in fishing, the more shade that you're providing that area is gonna increase habitat for all the organisms.
What kind of trees are you doing?
So we have a variety of lists. They're all native trees. I don't know off the top of my head. I believe we shared that with you. Yes, ma'am. So it's a variety of shrubs, so smaller tree species to larger tree species. And it's going to take, as you know, with the oak tree, 15 plus years before they're my height.
Right.
Yes.
So you're talking about really in the two areas where the most erosion is.
Yes, sir.
And you, but you're not blocking our access. See, that's a major concern if you're blocking our access.
Yeah, so we're thinking about the zero turns that have to maintain the area, as well as people visiting and making it more enjoyable for people to visit as well.
Right. Because I know, like I said, there's a lot of kids there. Parents bring them down to fish and,
yes,
and run around. And, you know, I bring my grandkids down there and we fly fish. And so you need a little bit of room to throw a fly rod.
Yes.
So, I just wanted to fish. That was one of our things that we've been
checking. We'll be working with Mr. Mays of the high school and his forestry team. So we'll be taking all of that into account of, you know, keeping the access to the creek, you know, keeping the view as well where the new playground is on the bottom lower right-hand side. So that's just kind of the area that we wanted to target, but we can selectively put trees in these areas.
So do you have any idea what kind of spacing you would have between trees?
Yes, enough for a zero turn to fit through, so about, you know, 5 or 6 feet wide.
Okay.
So when they do grow, they're not overgrowing one another.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
How about after the trees start touching each other?
The maintenance?
Yeah.
So there should be...
My experience is you plant the trees close until they get to the point where they touch each other, and then you cut every other one.
Yes, so we don't have any plans to cut. How we grow our riparian buffers, it's enough space for that tree to fully mature.
Okay.
Yes. So ideally, once these trees are planted, for the next 15 years, our buffer team will come out, and we have two options. We could do... The option we don't prefer is the black mats around to reduce weeding, but we have seen zero turns catch those and then it looks terrible. So we have a 15-year herbicide plan to herbicide that area around that tree to reduce like weed eaters having to get in there and clean it.
So y'all take care of all that?
Yes, we'll take care of the cost of all the trees and the maintenance for the next 15 years.
Does anybody else have any questions?
Who oversees the planting?
Currently, it's going to be the James River Association working with Amherst County High School staff.
Okay.
And then after this spring, it will be turned over to our riparian buffer team for the next 15 years. And you might know Amory Robertson. She used to work with the town and the Department of Environmental Quality.
If I may, I lived on a farm for almost 30 years, and we had a stewardship forest,
mm-hmm.
as well as some of our neighbors. So I'm very familiar with that type of program. I do understand the benefits of this. We had our little creek built up with plants, you know, native to the area. My concern is with this particular pond, this particular area. I've never been advocate for it because it's, as people call it, the pit, the bowl, the marsh. I'm not going to show tonight, but I have videos where there's, you know, the stream started out like this, or the creek, now it's eroded,
mm-hmm.
and it's in the grass flat level, which is beautiful, but when you have a hard rain, your feet sink into the ground. So I'm opposed to putting any financial dollars of our town there.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you will do this with your organization. However, I'm concerned about tying the hands of our town for 15 years. I believe your project would be wonderful if it works,
mm-hmm.
but suppose we need to do something else with the land, then we won't be able to cut the trees down. I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
That is not in our agreement.
What is in the, I haven't seen the agreement.
Yes, so the agreement is we'll maintain it for 15 years, but if it is a hazard to someone or a need to put a new bench or a picnic table, that can definitely be done. So we're not obligated to keep that tree in the ground for 15 years. We will maintain it.
Do we have a copy of that?
I have not seen it.
I haven't seen the...
No worries.
So I'm just grasping at straws.
Okay. Yes.
Those are my
and
concerns.
To address your concern as well, with more trees in that area, that's going to reduce the widening of that creek, as well as it's going to create more sustainable soil to where it's not going to be that squishiness because of those roots within there.
I understand your position. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Okay.
I am concerned.
Yes, sir.
You're talking about planning him to for room to get a mower through there. That's really close. Particularly for a maple tree, they need to be 20, 30 feet apart.
Oh, yes. So I agree with you, sir. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying the minimum would be to get that zero turn. And I'm speaking on behalf of, I lead our education team, but we do have stewards of the land, and that's their work. So they're creating this plan. I did not create this. I'm just here speaking on behalf of our organization.
All right. Yes. You can have a seat. Do we have another
Perfect.
Question? We'll just call on you.
Thanks, sir.
Like you said, we have not seen the agreement or what the agreement is. Yeah, well, I've got a thought to work with, all right? So, I would like to everybody to be able to see the agreement and discuss it again before we make a decision on this, because we have not seen the agreement or anything like that. I know this has to be done by April. If we can get the agreement within the next week, in the last week of March, we can get together, we'll set the time, we'll all just, you know, we'll come here for 20 minutes or whatever, whatever it takes, 20, 30 minutes, and we will discuss it and then make our decision then. We got to have that agreement and stuff for us to review it before we can make a decision. Okay?
Thank you.
And we will talk to some public, some of our people in the public that we know, and we'll hear from some of them. I'm sure those who are watching on TV tonight will let us know. So.
You know, I don't want to cost them a lot of money, but I'd like to see some kind of a rendering of what it might look like.
Yeah, I mean, that was what I was hoping was going to be right around something like that. So, okay.
And also an idea of the schedule.
When the plan will start, yeah. I'm hoping all of that will be in what you give us for us to look, okay?
Yes, sir.
I think you you've got your order, so we'll go from there. All right, moving on. We need to set a public hearing to review the budget next month, correct?
Yes, so I'm just requesting that the council set a public hearing to review the budget that was presented in the packet and then the news in advance.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to set the public hearing for next month.
I'll make that motion.
A motion from Ms. Reed, may I have a second?
A second.
Second from Mr. Watts. Is there any discussion? Being none. Well, did you raise your hand?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought you did. Being none, vote Mr. Driscoll.
Aye.
Mr. Watts.
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
And Mr. Martin.
Aye.
Motion carried. 4-1-0. Next one. Set a public hearing for the CIP.
Same situation. Just set a public hearing for the next meeting to review the CIP that's been presented.
Okay, we'll entertain a motion to set the public hearing.
Motion.
A motion from Mr. Watts, may I have a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Driscoll, is there any discussion? Being none, vote Mr. Martin.
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
Mr. Watts.
Oh, aye.
And Mr. Driscoll.
Aye.
Motion carried, 4-1-0. Ms. McGuffin, the Board of Zoning Appeals appointment.
Yes, sir, thank you. We do have a vacancy on the Board of Zoning Appeals, so we had a resignation, and we fortunately have received an application from a town citizen who has lived here for several years but has still been working and worked for the federal government, so had, you know, a little bit more time commitment in terms of work. So we've received an application from Ms. Ventress Gibson, and staff asked that you provide a recommendation for her to the circuit court for appointment. So as you remember, the Board of Zoning Appeals, you don't actually appoint the person, you provide a recommendation to the court, and then the court appoints the person. She would be serving out the remainder of Mrs. Tatlock Stenson's time.
How long is that?
August of 26.
Okay. I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion from Mr. Driscoll, may I have a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Martin. Any discussion? There being none, vote. Mr. Driscoll.
Aye.
Mr. Watts.
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
And Mr. Martin.
Aye.
Motion carried 4-1-0. Madison staff, chief?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Morgan.
We have resumed the water meter replacement project. I think we are at almost 80% complete at this point. So fingers crossed, we're looking at another couple months.
Just something real quick, to add on to what Ms. McGovern was talking about with the Town of Amherst VA.com website that Ms. Naylor put together, I added a page on our official government website where you can just hover over the calendar tab at the top of the page, and you'll see community events calendar, and that will take you right to hers.
Okay, well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Smith.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Becky?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Alrighty there. Ms. Kelly?
I don't have anything, sir.
All right, thank you. With that, Chief Watts. Mr. Komorowski?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to speak on the Old Mill tree planting issue. It was rather surprising to learn about it happening so quickly, but I am in total agreement that they need to do something to limit the erosion there in that park. It's getting really bad. That stream's 25 to 35% wider than it was when we got that property. I wholeheartedly agree with them planting trees in whatever areas their stewards deem fit, because that is their, you know, that's their job. That's what they know where to place those. My one consideration is looking over the list of the species that they listed on the website. I'd like the town to consider limiting the tree species to those that could be fruit or nut producing, in order to conform with the principles of what's called permaculture, which is planning your spaces in order to provide the maximum amount of food and medicine production as possible. It's a kind of a hippie space planting program, but it would definitely increase the value of the park, at least in my mind. And as far as a quick Google search comes around, that would be the only permaculture park in the state. So I'd just like the council to consider that aspect of moving forward on their plan.
Thank you, Mr. Komorowski.
Thank you.
All right, matter from council, Mr. Martin. Ms. Wheaton?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Watts?
I do have one. I'm a little bit concerned with the parking on Main Street as well. I don't think the idea of putting up signs that prohibit parking from, I don't know, midnight to 5 a.m. will solve the problem. It's not going to solve the daytime problem. That's where the problem is. We don't care who parks at night. But it's from like 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. or maybe even later. We had the two-hour parking in place and we eliminated it, which I was sort of hesitant to eliminate, but I would be a proponent of bringing back two-hour parking. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Justin?
I like the sound of that. That's all.
All right.
Mr. Mayor, may I address that briefly?
Yes, you may.
So one of the big challenges for the two-hour parking, of course, I'm sure Chief could pipe up on this as well, with the changes in the law based on, you know, court cases, we no longer have the ability to, you know, to chalk a tire and show that it's been there for 2 hours.
You have to actually observe the car there for 2 hours before you can ticket it. 2 hour parking prohibition is not really practical to enforce, is what I've been told. Correct, Chief?
That's what I've been told as well.
So that's one of the challenges with that. The reason why I presented the overnight, no overnight parking as an option, is because the real challenge that the businesses have had is not that they're concerned that residents shouldn't be able to park there at all. It's that they're using it as consistent parking all the time. So the cars, as Mrs. Sundermurthy said, you have a car that was parked there for 8 days. And we saw during the snow event that there were cars that were not being moved ever. They were just staying there kind of permanently on Main Street. And so that was the point of trying the no overnight, was to get to the point where it's like, you can't just leave your car there all the time. We want to see if it works to kind of share and share alike a bit.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. I mean, I'm willing to try that, but,
You see, Lynchburg does it. They, of course, they've got a guy that does it all the time, and he takes photos. And then,
well, we don't have the staff for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, he takes the photos, and then he drives back by, and they spend some money because it pops up if you've been there over that time, So
I don't know. I think for the sake of the businesses on certain Main Street, we need to
figure something out.
Act sooner rather than later, because I understand. I mean, you got people taking up your parking space when you're trying to do business. People are not going to stop. I got that.
Mr. Mayor, if council would like us to, we would be happy to advertise a public hearing for next month on that. I don't know if that's an order of business you would like to take up now, but if you would like to, that's something we can put together pretty easily. We know where it goes in the code. It's not complicated language to draft.
Okay, this is not a usual set of
business. It is not. That's why I said if you would like.
Since it's in the matters of council. Yep. But I understand the local business's point of view. So, if I do not have any objections from council, I will entertain a motion to place the parking on for a public hearing next month.
I'll make the motion.
A motion, Mr. Watts, may I have a second?
Second.
We'll split the table up. I'll use Mr. Martin this time. Is there any discussion? Any further discussion? There being none, vote. Mr. Driscoll? Mr. Watts? Ms. Wheaton? And, okay, motion for that is carried 4-1-0. Thank everybody for coming tonight, and I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll do that one too.
I got Ms. Watts and I got Ms. Wheaton. All those in favor?
All right.
Go home, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.